there. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek, and I am glad to be with you here on this Tuesday. A Tuesday morning after an Eagles victory, but we're going to get to that in a minute. Right now, let's kick things off as we do each day with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. Father, we know that you have big plans for us this day. We ask that you give us the grace that we need to do your will throughout the day. May every encounter that we have bring the people we meet closer to you and help us to see your goodness in everyone who we encounter and every situation that occurs. Father, we present to you our problems, anything we're struggling with this morning. We give them to you and we ask for your help. We ask you to help us to know you better through our relationship with your Son Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you to speak through us on the program today. We know that you have a message for us, and I ask that you let that message come forth through our lips using our voices. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we got a great show for you today. Coming up on the program, Dr. John Bergsma is going to be here. He is a regular guest on the show. We're going to continue our look at Abraham and how Abraham can help us. You know, a lot of times we look at these, some of these Old Testament stories in particular, and we forget that God's speaking to us through these stories. So we're going to continue the saga of Abraham. Also, first-time guest on the program, Brandon Vaught will be here. He's written a book called Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He really tackles some tough questions, and he has answers for them, too. So we're going to be talking to Brandon later in the program. Speaking of tackling tough questions and coming up with brilliant answers...
Wow, I was just going to...
Frank Eliason. That's A. Parker.
Softball, all right.
Couldn't resist it, boys. You know, Dave, sometimes it's just too easy. I'm sorry.
You get a number on that bus? Come on. All right. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Dave. I just wanted to shake things up a little today.
I know you did. I'm glad
Frank's enjoying this, by the way.
He sure is.
I'm still asleep.
You stayed up for the entire Eagles game yesterday, Frank.
Absolutely. And the post game and everything else. Had to. Okay.
How about you, Dave?
I did not make it either. I did not.
Frank, what's your opinion now? Super Bowl?
I still don't go there. I really don't go there. You know, that Wentz is an incredible kid.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he is just an amazing athlete.
Yeah. Right.
I think yesterday was a really breakout game for him, and I think that's going to really set the tone for his career.
Absolutely.
That one play where he broke out of that melee that was on top of him and shocked everybody and gained 17 yards. You know, it's funny. He has a 64-yard bomb for a touchdown, but the play that really was the make of that game yesterday was him breaking out, about to get sacked, everybody around him, and all of a sudden out of that whole pile comes Wentz running through for 17 yards. And to watch him do that, he's an incredible athlete, and he's really come into his own over the course of the past year. So, you know, there's not really much you could say. You know, that just watching him is just incredible.
I got some highlights this morning, but I did not watch it. I just watched a few highlights at 4:30 on one of the local stations.
But it, you know,
that is so sad.
You're
an Erie person. You're not a Philly
person. No, it's not so much that.
You've not been properly assimilated.
Right, because we all know the rich sports history of Erie, Pennsylvania. The numerous teams that come out of Erie. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. You don't have any.
Oh, we have semi-pro. Whoa!
I'm sorry, boy. Dave's getting it from both directions.
No, really, seriously, you know why? I mean, and I didn't want to take it here, but I'm a retiree from the military, and I am fasting from the NFL.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I'll let that sink in. I love the Eagles. I love football, but My allegiance to the military is stronger.
And that's what makes you special, Dave, because if you get behind a cause, if you believe in something, you go all the way. So yeah. Good for you.
Whether
good
a bus you. Runs me over or not.
No, good for you,
man.
Stand
good
up. For you.
You know, it's funny.
That's what makes you special.
I have not really done that much with the NFL over the past few years, mainly for similar reasons. But at the same time, you know, it's like still Philadelphia thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of, you know, still love the Eagles. I love all our Philadelphia teams.
I do, too. That's the tough part. That's the struggle in my heart and soul, really, in my mind.
And so I, you know, still somewhat pay attention to them, even if I don't watch the full games. I usually watch portions,
right.
Catch some of it. But it is it's a tug of war, and you know, we'll see where it goes. And there's people on all sides of that issue.
That's right.
You know, and it's going to be. We'll see where all things lay. I like to view it. And my biggest problem to the whole thing is, football was always that escape. From the world
Absolutely.
Around us, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden it became the
main focal point
of political
of the fall.
It was an escape for me, and that's the sad thing that I think is out there.
And I think it'll get back to that
I think
people are fed up, and we want that escape, right?
Yeah, we need it.
Yeah,
you know, we need it. We need it for a variety of reasons. There's so many, you know, just to have a little bit of fun in the world. I think there's the world's sometimes way too serious in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it takes away a lot of the good that we have. But, you know, I've said it numerous times on this show. I've said it outside the show. I also think the world and our drift away from faith has, like, made it extraordinarily impossible for people to have, you know, figure out where they need to be and, like, get that placement.
Exactly.
You know, and so I think that's the other challenge to it. So one of the things for people to do is certainly maybe find your way in faith, maybe help others find their way in faith.
Can I balance that a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, with something that is military, and I don't know if you saw this on the news yesterday, there was a Medal of Honor ceremony at the White House. And it's really near and dear to my heart, because and this guy was a medic.
Mm.
His name was Army Captain Gary Rose. He was in Special Forces, and Green Berets back in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this story was quiet. They kept it quiet because back then you could go on and read the story, but it's public knowledge now. But in Vietnam, we were a neighboring country, Laos, and we weren't supposed to be, but we had to in terms of defense and going after the enemy. Well, he was a medic, and basically it's his story of heroism, which it was 47 years, and he was recognized. I mean, he did such amazing, incredible, heroic things, saving his men, you know.
Wow.
So I as a medical service corps officer,
mm-hmm.
Army, HUA, I just felt I had to give a shout out to. I mean, he's a real hero, and we have many of those in America.
I was about to say many of the medics in military service are, you know, oftentimes they're not fighting, they're running
into
the bullets, they're charging into it. Have been incredible, serving this country,
mm-hmm.
and oftentimes not given the recognition that they deserve.
They're unsung heroes, like many others. And he did. His humility was remarkable. I'll finish with this. He said, "I'm not, you know, I'm honored, but it's for the men,
my men." Yep.
And
thanks for mentioning that. That's
right,
a very good point.
You.
And thanks for being the patriot that you are, Dave. You are 100% loyal to this country, and you're a good man. And
thank you
for your service.
Well, thank you. But now back to the Eagles.
You know?
Now, there are family members that are season ticket holders. So Barbara and I have this conversation.
If one of them gave you a ticket, would you go?
Oh, boy, don't say. Oh, Lord. Well, that's a good question, you know.
All right. On that note, let's take a look at the weather, and it's a little bit of a nasty forecast today. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 72 degrees under overcast skies. Today, showers, possibly a thunderstorm throughout the day, high near 74. Tonight, we have a slight chance of showers continuing until about 2 a.m. Then it'll be partly cloudy, low around 57. Tomorrow, we're going to see a change in the temperature. We're going to drop a little bit. Mostly sunny, high near 66. At the present time, in Bensalem, 75. In Westchester, 69. And over the river in Riverton, New Jersey, 75 degrees at the present moment.
Wow. A lot of rain today, Gary.
Yeah, but, you know, it's we're due. I think are we still in a drought?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. I have so one thing about weather. I thought we were always sunny in Philadelphia. Well. You know, well, never mind. Nobody, Frank. I thought you were gonna. Wasn't there some show that was called?
There was. And the funny thing is, I've never seen it.
Me either.
I saw one episode.
And I actually liked Danny DeVito. I actually liked Danny DeVito. I just never watched it.
Yeah.
Do I have time to read the gospel?
I think you do.
But you have to do it in a Danny DeVito voice.
Today's gospel from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And he should come, and should he come in the second or third watch, and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." We are currently in the 29th week in ordinary time. The church year has 33 weeks in ordinary time. Actually, there are 34 because the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we are nearing the end of the liturgical or the church year. So the message is that the church has for us, focus on get ready. End times, get ready, get busy. The Lord is coming again. So this is, we're going to hear more and more, Dave, of these messages, these reminders that it's time to get busy.
Yeah, the time is nigh, drawing near, folks. That's what
and that's why we hear a lot of these gospel messages.
Exactly,
it's somewhat of a wake up call.
It is,
and we all need that. Look, we talk about this a lot on the program. Today is all the only guarantee we have is right at this present moment we are alive. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? So don't get depressed about it. Make the most of it.
Right?
Do something today to serve the Lord. Even if you can't get out of your house, you can pray, you can make a phone call, you can send an email. So many things that we can all do.
Exactly. And we don't have to be morose about it. And let's live the joy of the gospel just daily.
In
this moment.
I think we need that reminder because it's very easy for us to just go through the motions and say, "Oh, another day, here we go." Right?
But no, absolutely. I think that, you know, it's just how we tend to do things.
That's human nature.
It is human nature.
So, with that in mind, go out there and do some good in the world today. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsman. We're going to be talking about Abraham.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 25th. Today we celebrate Blessed Antonio de Santa Ana Galvão. Born near São Paulo, Brazil, in 1739, Antonio briefly entered a Jesuit seminary before deciding on the Franciscans. Following his ordination, he served as a preacher and confessor. Within a few years, he was appointed confessor to a group of Arian nuns. He went on to co-found a new community of women religious under the patronage of Our Lady of the Conception of Divine Providence. The premature death of the first superior caused Padre Antonio to take on more responsibilities for the new congregation, especially for building a convent and church adequate for their growing numbers. At his beatification ceremony in 1998, Pope John Paul II praised Blessed Antonio for working on behalf of women religious, and for dedicating himself with love and devotion to the afflicted, the suffering, and the slaves of his era in Brazil. His authentically Franciscan faith, lived and spent in serving his neighbor, should be an encouragement to imitate this man of peace and charity, the Pope concluded. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
No matter the weather, you're always listening in the sun. It's a great day with Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
About a little Elvis Presley on Spirit in the Morning, Reach Out to Jesus. Love that song. Haven't played that one in a while. Time right now is 7:18. Thanks for joining us. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'm so glad to be with you this morning. We are joined now by our friend, Dr. John Bergsma. He is a full professor of theology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville, the author of several books, including Bible Basics for Catholics. We're going to continue our discussion of the story of Abraham. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, Gary, great to be with you today.
Likewise, my friend. You know, John, I keep thinking that there is so much to this story of Abraham, and we're going very slowly with this, but I think there's a danger of speed reading through some of these stories and treating them just as stories instead of as God's message to us. Would you agree?
I would. I think the whole history of salvation is really present in the life of Abraham, and that's why St. Paul refers to it so often in the New Testament. So we can get a lot of returns out of patiently working through the accounts of his life.
And I appreciate you being willing to go slow with this, because I'm getting a lot out of this personally. The last time we spoke, we talked about, we were in Genesis chapter 15, and we talked about God's covenant with Abraham. And then we briefly shifted over into chapter 16 and talked about this plan that was concocted by Abraham's wife, Sarah. And I love this. She came up with this idea. Now, at this point, Genesis chapter 16, Abraham would be 85 years old. Would that be correct, John?
That would be correct.
Okay, so he's 85. The Lord is saying, all right, Abraham, you're going to have many descendants. You're 85 years old. You got to trust me on this. And then he makes this solemn covenant with him. Abraham's okay with this. But then Sarah tells him, well, I got an idea. Why don't you have a child with my maid, Hagar? And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Now, we all know this did not work out the way it should have. So, John, I would say the moral from the inspired word of God is that men shouldn't listen to their wives.
Whoa.
You're not going to go there, are you, brother?
But
you know, it's funny. But he listened to his wife instead of listening to what God was saying. Would you agree?
It's not so much that he's listening to his wife, but to listen to anyone's suggestion that's contrary to what God's telling us is always wrong. It is a little verbal connection, though, Gary, with Adam listening to Eve.
Ah.
And there's a little parallel here. It's not so much, it's obviously not that it's wrong to listen to one's wife, but there's a little connection in these stories where in each case, the husband's taking bad advice, and it leads to a rash course of action, which is not good for the plan of salvation.
And sometimes, and you mentioned this last time, and I want to just expand on this again, sometimes we'll hear that, well, this was an acceptable moral practice at the time, but really what this shows, it was a flawed moral practice.
Absolutely. There's all through the Old Testament, even though there's not an outright condemnation of polygamy or having more than one wife.
Right.
What the sacred author consistently shows is that whenever somebody does this, it really leads to bad things. He also shows back in Genesis 4 that the idea of having more than one wife really came from the line of Cain, which is the line of really evil descendants.
Okay.
So it was never a good idea from the beginning. It certainly wasn't God's plan, which was one man, one woman, in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, and now what confuses me, and the reason I wanted to dwell on this just a little bit more, is at this point, Hagar is really looked down upon by Sarah, and she takes off and encounters an angel. This is Genesis chapter 16, verse 7. The angel appears to her and said, Hagar, maid of Sarah, where have you come from, and where are you going? She says, I am fleeing from my mistress. The angel said, return to your mistress, submit to her. And the angel also said to her, I will so greatly multiply your descendants that they cannot be numbered for multitude. This has always confused me, John, because it almost seems as if the Lord is blessing an immoral action.
Yes. No, Gary, I would rather see this as a blessing on Hagar for humility. God often calls us in this life to put up with, you know, authority figures who are less than perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a great struggle for us, whether it's in religious life with a superior who's not so great, or in a diocese where the bishop maybe is not, you know, whatever, this atheist person, and that's happened in church history.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And but sometimes God calls us to go that second mile, to endure under a situation like he called David when David had to live under Saul's reign, even though Saul was persecuting him. And so here the angel says, you know, put up with Sarah, who is the authority figure here. Go that second mile and trust in me, because I will bless you through it if you will show this act of humility.
That's a great message, and thank you for clearing that up, because that's always something that bothered me when I would read that. I'd say, well, there must be something I'm missing here. But that's something I think we can all take from this incident, because we're all, in one way or another, in that situation, or will find ourselves in that situation.
Absolutely. At some point in our lives, we certainly will.
Okay, so now Abraham is 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael as a child. We then shift into chapter 17 of Genesis, and now Abraham is 99 years old. So there's a gap of 13 years. I find that interesting.
It is. And during this period, you know, Ishmael has, you know, become, you know, on the verge of manhood now.
Ah.
And so we have to remember that. That kind of colors the incidents that follow.
And at this point, a few verses later, we see that Abram, we've been calling him Abraham for simplicity's sake, but his name was actually Abram up until this point. God changes his name to Abraham. Is there a significance to that?
There is, because it connects, Gary, back with that promise in Genesis 12, 3, that, well, 12, 2 and 3,
mm-hmm.
that God would make Abraham's name great. That idea of a great name, Gary, back in the ancient world, it was connected with royalty, with ideas of kingship. And we're going to see in this chapter that God is going to promise a line of kings now in the line of Abraham. God's going to incorporate that into the covenant that he made with Abraham. And as a sign of that great name, which is associated with these ideas of kingship, he's going to literally make Abram's name greater. He's going to go from Abram to Avraham.
Hmm.
And as a kind of a poetic sign that Abraham's line is destined for royalty.
What I find really interesting about this is it reminds us, John, of the fact that God operates according to his own schedule. We can't rush him, and I think sometimes we want to. And, you know, he's telling Abraham, look, trust me on this. And do you think that what's happening here is that the Lord is helping to build up Abraham's faith?
He is, because, you know, as St. Paul says, Abraham is our father in faith. And so we see that's his remarkable characteristic. Obviously, it's not that Abraham's perfect. We see him sinning and doing underhanded things from time to time. But it's his great faith in God that is really his commendable quality. And what we see here is, you know, rather than immediately answering Abraham's desire for a descendant, you know, that we have this 13-year gap or more.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if God is stretching out the promise and asking Abraham to show even more faith than he had before, because as time goes on, these promises seem more and more impossible.
Yeah, and he's building up to the really big test that we're going to see several chapters later. And, I mean, he just continually asks Abraham to trust more and more. And we see in the end, it does all pay off. Dr. John Bergsma, I want to thank you once again. This is always fun, my friend. Where can we find you online?
Sure, CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you over to my website, and can CDs, audios, books and stuff, and other information is all there.
Awesome, John. You do such a great job, and I really enjoy this. And for the record, as a husband whose wife listens to this program, I would never, ever, ever say to any man, do not listen to your wife. I'm not a dumb man, John Bergsma.
Thank you, Gary.
Listen, my friend, thanks again. God bless you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Dr. John Bergsma. Now, Dave Parker,
wow.
what say you, Mr.
Yeah,
Parker?
Really. I love epiphanies right before my eyes, Gary.
You know,
I better say this. It was great, Gary.
I couldn't resist that
one,
though.
That was awesome. Man.
Isn't it good? He really brings these stories to life. There's so much that we could miss in the Old Testament, but yet the Lord speaks to us so directly, so clearly through this.
Yeah, he does.
When we come back, Brendan Vaught, Why I Am Catholic, and You Should Be Too. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. U.S. officials say they're preparing a recommendation for Secretary of State Rex Tillerson to declare that ethnic cleansing is occurring against Myanmar's Rohingya Muslims. The assessment would raise pressure on the Trump administration and U.S. lawmakers to consider new sanctions on a country that has been lauded for its democratic transition. Tillerson could receive the recommendation as early as this week. He'd then decide whether to accept it. Pope Francis yesterday met with the Greek Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem, Theophilus III. In his remarks, the Holy Father expressed his closeness to all those suffering from conflicts in the Holy Land and called for an end to any violence, discrimination, or intolerance against people of different faiths. He also called for unity among Christians, saying, quote, "It is not possible to change the past, but without forgetting grave failures of charity over the centuries, Let us look to a future full of reconciliation and fraternal communion and take up the work before us as the Lord desires. Not to do so today would be an even graver fault. It would be to disregard both the urgent call of Christ and the signs of the times sown by the Spirit along the church's path. End quote. The Philadelphia Eagles own the NFL's best record at 6-1 after Carson Wentz passed for 268 yards and four touchdowns in a 34-24 win over the visiting Washington Redskins last night in Monday Night Football. And it will be Clayton Kershaw against Dallas Keuchel in Game 1 of the World Series. The LA Dodgers take on the Houston Astros tonight with the first pitch scheduled for 8.09 p.m. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
The St. Peter Respect Life Committee is pleased to announce their first program of the season, November 5th at 6 p.m. at St. Peter Church, West Brandywine, Pennsylvania. They'll feature Brendan and Nicole Flynn. Brendan and Nicole both survived separate accidents which left them with severe traumatic brain injuries, only because their families fought for their lives after doctors told them there was no hope. After meeting in rehab, falling in love, and becoming husband and wife, they've turned their circumstances around by making it their life mission to serve God by educating people with their faith-filled stories. It's an amazing story of faith that you have to hear. November 5th at 6 p.m. at St. Peter Church, West Brandywine, Pennsylvania. Visit stpeterchurch.net to learn more or email respectlife@stpeterchurch.net.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your back.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Lauren Daigle with Trust in You. I'm Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:35. Thanks for being along with us this morning. We're going to go now to Brandon Vaught. Brandon is a best-selling and award-winning author. He's a blogger. He's a speaker. And he serves as content director for Bishop Robert Barron's Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. He's written a new book. It's called Why I Am Catholic, and You Should Be Too. It's from Ave Maria Press. And I love the book because Brandon is not afraid to tackle some of the difficult objections. We're going to talk to him now. Hey, Brandon, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Gary, it's good to be here with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Brandon, I have to say, love the book. And in the introduction, this is what really got me. This is what got my attention in the book. You say this, and this is a direct quote from your introduction, I think like the first paragraph into the book. Isn't Catholicism a backward, intolerant, bigoted religion? Isn't it run by pedophile priests and full of scandals? Doesn't it degrade women and LGBT people and obsess about sex? Isn't it plagued by pointless rules that stifle real faith? I have to say, brother, you weren't afraid to tackle the hardcore objections.
Yeah, I wanted to start off the book by acknowledging criticisms that most of the readers I'm targeting with the book probably have swimming in their minds.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wrote this book specifically for atheists, agnostics, former Catholics, nuns, N-O-N-E-S, people mm-hmm. with no religion. And this is what a lot of them think of the Catholic Church. And so I wanted them to read on the very first page an acknowledgement that, okay, you know, you have these criticisms. I'm aware of them.
Yeah.
And throughout the rest of this book, I'm going to respond to them.
Yeah, and you don't try to sugarcoat anything. And I think that really gives you a lot of credibility. So in light of this, in light of these objections, why, Brandon, would anybody want to be Catholic?
Well, the short version is that it's true, which is the best reason to accept any worldview or philosophy. But as I explain in the book, it's also eminently good and beautiful. And I suggest that almost like three notes of a harmony or the three turns of a lock, that when something bears the qualities of truth, goodness, and beauty, it's a strong confirmation that it's something worth considering. So that's the case I make in the book. I have several chapters on each of those three qualities showing why Catholicism is true, good, and beautiful.
And how did you come to be Catholic?
Well, by that same path, I converted to Catholicism in college at the same time when many of my friends were heading in exactly the opposite direction. I was coming into the church, they were going out.
Wow.
And so I thought, what did I find that they seemed to be missing? And it was that question that sort of led to the genesis of this book.
Mm-hmm.
I was most attracted to the intellectual arguments for Catholicism. So, for example, I was drawn in by the argument from history and authority that Jesus is God. Jesus established a church, not thousands of churches, a church. And so I was driven to answer the question, well, which church did Jesus establish?
Right.
And so that started a rigorous path of researching the early church and seeing where that early church developed, how it developed, and what it developed into. And through various avenues, I became convinced that the Catholic Church of today is the church that Jesus established 2,000 years ago, albeit in a much more developed form, but just as John Henry Newman tells us, as an acorn grows into a tree, you wouldn't look at an acorn and say, well, that's not a tree, but you would recognize that an acorn develops into a tree. And so I became convinced that the early church of the first century was the acorn that developed into the tree of the Catholic Church today.
I think once you accept that notion that Jesus did found a church, and that you look at, okay, well, let me now determine which church he did found, and you look at, for instance, the first 1,000 years or so of the church, you're going to see, and there's documented proof, that our Catholic Church is that church.
Yeah, that's right, Gary. That's what I found, too. You know, we live in a Protestant-saturated culture, which mostly takes it for granted that the Bible is the sole infallible rule of faith, this idea of sola scriptura, that all we need is the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, I won't believe it, that kind of thing. But as a Protestant, for the first 20 years of my life, I never once asked myself the question, where did the Bible come from? You know, did the Bible sort of just fall out of thin air? It's just always been there in my life, and so I never questioned where it actually came from. And it was during this period of exploring Catholicism that I was forced to realize that Jesus did not leave a Bible. Mm. Jesus did not leave any writings. He didn't leave any letters. What he left was a church, and the Bible emerged out of the church after many, many, many years, and it wasn't formally promulgated till about 400 years after Christ's resurrection. And so that historical research again confirmed this fact that Jesus left a church. Mm-hmm. And so any serious-minded person who wants to follow the evidence where it leads should ask themselves, which church is that?
Brandon, I'm a follower of your work, and you're definitely a deep thinker, and I find it fascinating that you just said that you never really gave too much consideration to where the Bible came from. This is a common problem, and it's not just for Christians who don't give it much thought or who are not that deep. We have some deeply intellectual Christians who never stop to think, where did the Bible come from?
Yeah, it's a critical question.
It is.
And it's one, again, that I find many of my Protestant brothers and sisters don't consider is important. And I think part of the reason is because there are, admittedly, so many interesting questions that come into play after you take for granted the existence of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So just trying to interpret the Bible is a lifetime's work, you know. So asking the more fundamental questions of where the Bible even came from isn't on many people's radar. Mm. But as we've been talking here, Gary, I think it's one of the Achilles' heels of Protestantism is
right.
Where did the Bible come from? You know, the reality is that the authority of Scripture depends on the authority of the Catholic Church. The only reason why Protestants today consider this particular grouping of letters and writings and poems as sacred Scripture is because the Catholic Church of the 4th and 5th century authoritatively declared it to be so.
Wow.
So even Protestants, even if they don't know it, they're implicitly relying on the authority of the Catholic Church in order to trust the Scriptures that they so rightly venerate.
Mm, that is an amazing fact. All right, Brandon, we have about 4 minutes left in the segment. It is very early, but I'm going to hit you with probably the most difficult question that I possibly could, but it's one that has to be brought up. There are many people who are ex-Catholics, who are not Catholic, deeply affected by the sex abuse crisis. In light of that, how do we proceed? Why would anybody want to become Catholic? What do we say to them?
I'd say a couple things, Gary. I think the first thing any honest Catholic should say is they should share in the horror and the frustration at these atrocious crimes. I think none of us would deny the serious and deplorable nature of these cases of abuse and the ways that they were covered up by many priests and bishops. It's deplorable from every perspective.
Right.
So first of all, you should admit that we're in the same boat. We feel the same way about it. But second, I think I'd say that you would never judge any organization or institution by its worst members.
Mm.
With the Catholic Church, we should judge it like we would any other case, by its best members, namely the saints. And it was the saints who most appealed to me when I was looking into Catholicism. Sure, there are bad apples in the Catholic Church, just like there are bad apples any time any group of humans congregate. We're a bad lot. We're sinners.
Right, right.
Things are going to go wrong. But instead of judging people, judging the church based on the people who did not accept its advice, its teachings, its medicine. Instead, look at the patients who did take the medicine of the church, namely the saints. So that's how I'd answer that objection.
And that's a great answer. That's an honest answer, and it's one that we should be prepared to. I mean, we shouldn't shy away from that question, because people are going to hit us with this. And I think it's important. It's also important to remember that one of the original bishops chosen by Jesus, betrayed him big time.
That's right, yeah.
Right?
And as my friend Tim Staples says, you don't dismiss Peter because of Judas. And I think that's the right way to look at it.
Wow, that is very, very important. This is a really good book. You know, Brandon, there are a lot of books written about why you should be Catholic, why I am Catholic, or whatever. But I think there's something special about your book, because you don't shy away from the difficult arguments, and you have a methodical approach. The book is Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too by Brandon Vaught. Brandon, where can we find out more about your work or follow you online? Because I know you do such good work.
Well, the best place for the book is to go to whycatholicbook.com. You can pick up the book there, but there's also a series of free videos that sort of summarize some of the arguments in the book. So just go to whycatholicbook.com.
Okay, and we will have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Hey, brother, it's really good to get to talk to you, and I appreciate you coming on the program.
Oh, my pleasure, Gary. Thanks for having me.
All right. Brandon Vaught, the book is Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. Dave Parker, that was... He didn't shy away from the difficult questions.
Head on.
That's what I like about the book.
Head on.
And you know what? The simple answer, why should we be Catholic? Mm-hmm. Because it's true.
Because it's
Jesus
true.
Founded the church.
Exactly.
We have the fullness of truth in the Catholic Church. And sometimes I think we fail to let the church stand up for herself, right? I mean,
exactly.
The truth is going to win out if somebody is really honest.
Absolutely.
And explores it with an open mind. Mm-hmm. The truth will stand up, will hold up, because it's true.
I was going to say, I mean, too many ostriches out there. I mean, it's an ugly, ugly thing, horrendous thing that happened. And then we bury a lot of us, Catholics and other Christians and other non-Christians, they hear about this and they bury their heads in the sand. But they make that decision, that Catholic Church.
That's right.
No, I love his look for the best.
Yep.
We have so many best Catholics
That's
in the
right.
world.
Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too, the book by Brandon Vaught from Ave Maria Press. When we come back, Be Not Afraid Bible Verse plus more. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. They call themselves the Samaritans, and they're sponsored by the Catholic Extension Society. They dress alike, they work, and they pray together, all to fulfill the Bible quote emblazoned on the backs of their shirts, "Whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do unto me." A Catholic News Service article profiled the group, founded by Father Bill Davis and consisting of 10 women from San Javier Mission in Laredo, Texas. The Samaritans' mission is to lend a hand to anyone who needs it. The elderly, the disabled, the sick, the lonely, and the grieving. They do a number of things, clean houses, visit people, offer comfort in times of disaster, and pray the rosary. In short, they make life better for everyone, one person at a time. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
A restless generation, we're turning over every stone, hoping to find salvation in a world that's left us cold. Can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way to the Father, and He's calling out to us. To the captive, it looks like freedom. To the orphan, it feels like home. To the skeptic, it might sound crazy to believe in a God who loves. In a world where condition, it's the good news for us all. It's greater than religion, it's the power of the cross. So can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way Forgiveness when I know I deserve the fall. It called me out of my darkness and carried me to the cross. In a moment, my eyes were open. In that moment, my heart was changed. Like a blinding light in the dead of night. It's the gospel. Oh, to the captive, it looks like freedom. To the open, it feels like home. Yeah, to the skeptic. Gospel that makes a way.
And that's brand new from Ryan Stevenson. It's called The Gospel. My name is Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now is 7:52. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Let's do our Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. It comes from Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I want to speak directly to you today if you're struggling with something, if you're going through a period of suffering. This message contained in that psalm is for you. We all have highs and lows in life. We have the difficult times. We have the times of smooth sailing. Know that the Lord is with you. Don't waste your suffering. Offer it up. Ask for it to be taken away. Nothing wrong with doing that. Jesus did it. But know that better days are ahead. All of your suffering, for any of us, all of our suffering is temporary. It's either going to be gone in this life or in the next life. I think sometimes you just need to remember that. But cling to the message of the Lord, that comforting message that the Lord can grant us peace even in the midst of suffering. And that one day, all of our suffering, and I mean all of it, God willing, if we make it to heaven, it's all going to be wiped away. That is the message of the gospel, as Ryan Stevenson said in that song. That's the message of the gospel, and that should make you feel really good. Dave and Frank, before we sign off today, I want to mention something. Next week is it's a big anniversary, not necessarily a anniversary of a good event, but we are going to commemorate on October the 31st the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There is no doubt that a lot of damage happened because of what Martin Luther did.
Yeah,
we're going to have some guests coming up on the program, especially tomorrow. We're going to be joined by author Philip Campbell, who wrote a book, Heroes and Heretics of the Reformation. Next week, we are blessed to have Dr. Peter Kraft coming on the program. I mean, you talk about an intellectual, mm-hmm. one of the heavyweights in the Catholic world. He wrote a book called Catholics and Protestants, What We Can Learn from mm-hmm. Each Other. Mm-hmm. What both of these gentlemen are going to tell us mm-hmm. is that, mm-hmm. yeah, this was an event that caused harm, but we can, both sides, can learn something from it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a matter of Catholics were right, all of those people, those Protestants, they are wrong. That's not it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was damage, and the Lord certainly wants us reunited.
Oh, absolutely.
But we can learn from each other. And both of these books, one is from Tan Books, the other is from Ignatius Press. Mm-hmm. These are two very respected Catholic publishers.
Yes, they are.
So this is something to be taken seriously. Right, exactly.
Yes,
so we want to look at the Reformation, understand what it is, but try to learn something from it. Mm-hmm. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ.
Exactly. And just the Pope. The Pope, part of his pontificate has been, and of late, reaching out, and I think just last week or the last couple of weeks, with the Methodist Church.
That's right.
I mean, it's a huge outreach. So, I mean, he's trying to heal. There are more similarities than differences.
And that's what we need to focus on. Now, we had Brandon Vaught on. He talked about why I am Catholic and you should be too, because the Catholic faith represents the fullness of truth. That's what we believe.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that other Christian denominations don't contain partial truth. Mm-hmm. They do. I know a lot of Protestant friends who love Jesus and know him on a personal level, Frank. I mean, we can't just say, we are Catholics, we are right, and you are wrong. We can't do that.
There's things we can learn from every faith that's out there, not even just the Christian faiths. There's some fabulous things the Protestant faiths do that bring people in. And so you look at some of those churches, and they're growing in many ways and bringing new people into it. How do we learn to do some of those same things?
Right.
I think it's good to look around and understand it. You know, you don't have to, like, you know, jump into every one of their beliefs or anything about it. Mm-hmm. But you can certainly learn from them and respect the individuals.
That's key. And you talk about this a lot, Frank, that and we see a serious lack of respect in the world today. We don't even want to listen to one another.
That's right.
Even before I tell you you're wrong, I'm going to tell you you're wrong before I listen to you, right? Yeah. That's what we see too much of. Let's listen.
That's a real make friends and you know. Well, kind of thing, you know, like, I'm be your friend, but you're wrong, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. You know, but the funny thing is, we have more in common than we have differences, you know, and we're, you know, all striving to do the same thing. We're striving to bring people to Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Right.
And look at what Brandon. Brandon was a convert.
Yeah.
And he unpacked how, you know, his approach. He said, when I was coming in his college years, many of his college mates were, you know, leaving the church or, you know, doing that college experience thing. Yeah. So, but he really, from an intellectual standpoint.
Exactly. And he's an intellectual. He works for Bishop Barron. I mean, Brandon Vaught has a pretty impressive body of work, but he's a guy who's very smart, but he was open to the truth and he was seeking the truth. And when he found it, he said, I don't care what anybody's telling me. This is the truth.
But what I would also say is there's also on both sides misconceptions of things, whether it
there
be,
are.
You know, on the Protestant side, thinking that we, you know, worship Mary or we worship statues.
Correct.
You know, that's not true. And so, you know, but there's that discussion. You can't even get to that discussion when you're sitting there going, you're wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the key. Yeah. We're never going to have that discussion.
You don't want to, you don't want to throw a hand grenade into the middle of, when you're just coming together and everybody, okay, you blow it up. You don't want to blow up a relationship. You want to be, you know, receiving.
Exactly.
And rise above your ego, right? You know, and your beliefs. I mean, if you have questions, well, settle them or discuss them openly and intellectually, honestly.
And that's the thing. There are answers to these questions. The truth is the truth. And if we continue to try to pursue the truth, you're going to find the truth. All right, we got to run now. Thank you for joining us. I'm Gary Zimek. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. So just make sure you turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you next time.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating